Turn to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I want to preach this morning for just a little while on saving faith. Saving faith. Now, we looked last Sunday morning on the assurance of eternal life. And we come back Wednesday night and we looked at 10 virgins in Matthew 25, and we looked at being ready. For we don't know, you know, when the Son of Man cometh, but he says that we need to be ready, expectant. He said we need to have those lamps, but we need to have oil in our lamps, and we need to be trimmed with our lights shining, praise God, when Jesus comes. Amen. We don't want to be caught unexpected. We don't want to be caught in the dark, but we want to be with the light on, praise God, and our eyes wide open. I'm going to tell you that when Jesus came the first time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they knew all about the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew who He was. They knew about His coming. They knew almost a day and a minute and hour when He would come. But you know what they did? They rejected and denied their Savior. Why? Because they didn't have a saving faith to believe on God Almighty. Believe on the Son, praise God, that we might be saved. So when we see this and we wonder the cause of saving faith. Where does saving faith come from? The Bible teaches right here in this text that it comes from the Word of God. Amen. It comes from the spoken Word. It comes from God Almighty Himself, praise God. It's the definitive Word of God that speaks to you and I. This old King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It was inspired. Men were inspired as they was moved upon by the Holy Spirit to pen it down, praise God. And God allowed that. And He said, we take it line upon line. Precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and it begins to, we begin to understand that God's speaking to us because He loved us so much. That praise God, He wants to be a good heavenly Father to us, and He wants us to guide us along the way. So we see that we need that Word, amen, to make a difference. That's why He said that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So if you play this out today, praise God. Now we try to talk about the assurance of eternal life, life, we having that eternal life in Christ. But we look at this today and He said we get that faith to believe these things in the Word of God. God speaks to us and we know that God is real. Amen. That God have a witness this morning. God's real, praise God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come, He lived, He loved, He died, He rose from the dead, He's not in the grave. We don't worship and serve a dead Savior. Amen. Amen. Stay with me this morning. We don't serve this. We have a living Savior, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. That's where He is today. And He said, we're begotten by the Word of God. He begins to speak to us. So let me just explain to you this morning how this works. Do you remember how you when you got saved, when you got in? Amen. You were begotten by the Word of God. I remember for a long time, praise God, that I was lost and I knew it, but I didn't know how to make it right. Amen. I needed some man as the Ethiopian said to old Philip. He said, "How can I except some man show me?" I need somebody to show me how to be saved. Amen. Praise God. We all need someone to show us how to be saved, to have saved, to find a place where saving faith is. Amen. Where is saving faith? The Bible says it's in the Word of God. Look back at Acts chapter 16 for just a minute. Acts chapter 16. And let's just look at this together. I want you to understand this morning. Praise God. That saving faith, the faith to be saved, comes from the Word of God. Amen? Remember the Philippian jailer? In Acts 16, verse 25, said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen? What does that mean, that praise? It means the prisoners heard them, said something got to stirring in the prison house. I mean, something, praise God, they were bound up, they were trodden down, but old Paul and Silas got to praying, and they got to singing praises to God. You say, preacher, how could they do that? How could they sing and praise God when they was bound up in chains in the inner prison? Because they knew who their Redeemer was. They knew that one day, praise God, He would bring them out. Amen. They had high expectations. You know what's wrong with us today, church? We don't have high enough expectations. Amen. Praise God. They said, verse 26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Could you imagine that? That just goes to show you what a little prayer and a little praise, praise God, can. It can shake things up. Where you're at. It can shake things up for you. It can shake things up for people around you when you begin to pray and to praise God just a little bit. I know people say all the time, well, preacher, I just don't feel like praising God. Praise God, just go ahead and praise Him anyway. Feeling will come. Amen? Praise God. He is worthy of all of our praise. And praise God, we ought to praise Him every day whether we feel like it or not. I believe you'd have a whole lot better attitude. You'd feel better about the day. You'd feel better about yourself if you just start praising God. I praise Him every morning for the day. Amen. Me and Miss Wanda was talking for a church. Praise God. We thank God for every day that we just get up and get out of the bed. Amen. What a blessing that is. But they was a stirring, praise God, in a prison house. Saying the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open. He drew out his sword and would have killed himself, suppose the prisoners had been fled. The Philippian jailer, praise God, he is asleep on the job. Amen? Praise God. And when he had woke up, so he would have been killed for falling asleep on the job. And when he woke up, that shaking and that stirring got his attention. It woke him up out of his slumber. I'm telling you, when God moves into place, the shaking and the stirring ought to wake us out of our slumber. It ought to wake us up, praise God, into a revived spirit, realizing that God is in the house. Amen. I love it when God shows up in the house, don't you? Praise the Lord, just begins to speak to your hearts and do things. But he's supposing that the jail was open and the prisoners was free, that they had done run off. And he said, they're going to kill me anyway. He's going to take his sword and take his own life. Well, listen to what Paul says in verse 28. He said, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Amen. He said, Paul said, hey, you don't have to hurt yourself. They ain't nobody went nowhere. Amen. Boy, that in itself is a miracle. You imagine that got the, praise God, that got the attention of that old Philippian jailer. I pray he was just no lost sinner, praise God, doing a job that he's paid to do. Amen. And when God got the stirring on that place, there were some people there. They had the touch of God in their life and said, we're not going to do nothing to harm you, but we just want to point you to the marvelous light of Christ. What's happening in the jailhouse, praise God, can be happening at your house. Amen. Because you know what's wrong with the church today, young'uns? We come to the house of God, we don't expect God to fill us here, and we sure ain't going to take Him home with us. Amen? Praise the Lord, we ought to come here and expect God just to meet us here at the house of God, and He ought to meet us over at your house too. You ought to be able to pray and lift up your voice to Him. I praise God, praise Him, and give Him glory, even at your house. Amen? Your neighbors ought to think you're some kind of fanatic. Hello? Amen? So then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Amen. He was terrified and he was humbled. Praise God. They could have been gone. They could have slew him. There's a lot of different scenarios that you could see here could have happened. But he sprang in, praise God. And he said he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want you to watch this very close. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. He seen something, praise God, that he wanted. Amen. They was something there. They was a sense. They was a presence. They was an atmosphere, praise God, that this fella wanted to get a hold of. He didn't want to, he wanted to be a part of it. He said, "Sirs, what must I do? What do I got to do to be saved?" Amen. So what do we got to do to be saved? You say, "Pastor, that's a good question." He said, "What do I need to do to be saved?" Well, first of all, the Bible says, "When all sin comes short of glory of God," we need to realize that we're all sinners. Amen? We got to realize that we are all sinners. We've all sinned and come short. Amen? Well, that means we transgress. We've missed the mark of perfection. How many is here is perfect? Amen. Glory. I'm glad nobody raised their hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was going to say, if you raise your hand, you is perfect, you need to find you another house, a church, praise God, because we'll mess you up. Amen. Praise God. We love you and we want to help you, praise the Lord. And there's none of us in here that's perfect. There's nobody, there's no big I's or little U's in the house of God. We're just somebody coming together trying to get just a little something from the Lord that'll help us on this journey called life and get us safely on the other shore where we promised to be with Him forever. Amen. So what did Paul and Silas do here? Well, they do. Listen to what he says. Verse 31. And he said, and they said, it's almost like in unison. Can you get this? Can you see it? Just almost in unison. They was in one accord. They was in one mind. Praise God, they believed the same. He said, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But they didn't stop there. He said, and thy house. Amen? So what they tell him here, they said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You shall be saved and your house. Glory, hallelujah, he's dead. Could you imagine? They told that jailer, praise God, not only can you be saved, he said, but your house, hey, your whole family gets in. Praise the Lord. So now did they stop right there? Now notice what we said here, what he said here. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember last week we talked about that, believing in and believing on? See, that believing in is knowing Him as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God sent down from heaven, His divinity, who He was. But believing on Him, praise God, is receiving Him as your Savior. That Savior, that Jesus, that divinity that come down from heaven for the sins of man, come down for you. Glory, hallelujah. You ought to take out and have recess, just shout for about 30 minutes. Amen. He came down, praise God, from heaven for you. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Praise God. So that's what he tells. He asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and your house. Okay. Did he stop there? Huh? When we're with somebody, when somebody's getting, do we stop there? No. Amen. Praise God. They went on. They didn't stop there, praise God. They gave him what is ordained of God to produce faith. Amen. To produce faith. Verse 32. And he said, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Amen. They began to tell him what thus says the word of God. Amen. Now, did they have a Bible in front of their head? The New Testament wasn't even written yet. Amen. But they told them what thus says the word of God. They began to rehearse what God says, what God's word says, the help, the hope that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They begin to rehearse it to him. They begin to tell him what God had ordained to man to have saving faith, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved, praise God, from the guttermost to the othermost. You say, well, preacher, I can't be saved. You don't know what I've done. Yeah, God does. But he came to seek and to save. Notice this. He came to seek and to save who? Old sinners. Amen. He comes seeking to save the lost. Amen. Praise God. That through him you might be saved. Praise God. And he said he spake to them the word of the Lord to them and to all that were in his house. Amen. I believe that old Philippian jailer, Brother Jeff, I believe he said, okay, he went up and said, hold on. He said, let me get the family together, gathering them down at the house. He said, come on, youngins, praise God, get everybody together. These fellows want to talk to us. They're very, something very important they want to share with us. Amen. He brings these two old fellas in. Brother Jeff, they're beat and battered. They've stripes on their backs. I can imagine the whole family looked at them and said, "Oh my goodness, he brought a bunch of criminals in here." I mean, they've done some kind of horrendous thing. Look at the stripes. Look at what in the world did they do? And Mama said, "Well, Daddy's done brought some kind of something in here today." He gathers them up. He gets them around there. And the Bible says, and he took them the same hour of the night. Amen. Praise God. And washed their stripes and baptized them. And was baptized. And he in all his straight way. So what took place here? He began to give them the truth of the Word of God. He began to show them God's Word. He didn't just come to them and say, "Well, you got to believe." Amen. You got to just believe with every fiber in your being. That's all well and good. But we believe in what? Amen. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. That we believe not on Him but in Him. Because today's a whole lot of people believe on Him or in Him, but they don't believe on Him. They've never received Him as their Savior. Back over in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 11. He said, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Are you ashamed of Jesus today? Goodness, no. Amen. Praise God. I love my Savior. My Savior loves me. He said, those that are ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us before the Father. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of Him. I love Him. Praise God. Amen. He said, if we believe on Him, trust in Him, rely on Him, adhere to Him, listen to what He says. But what did they do? Did they just say, "Believe, believe, believe"? No, they said, "Hey, listen, you got to believe on Lord Jesus Christ." Maybe they took over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "So he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Said, we didn't lift him up. We didn't praise him. We didn't even recognize him. Hello? Do you know the Jew to this day, they don't read Isaiah 53? They leave that out because it convicts their heart, praise God. It helps them to realize that they were wrong. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. For times that we missed the mark, the times that we got caught up in sinfulness. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Verse number 6, he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He said, Jesus took at it. He took our punishment. He took our beating for us so we didn't have to take it. Amen. Isaiah chapter 52, if you back up just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. He said, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." Amen. That's intelligent and wise. And he said, "He shall be exalted." That's raised up, lifted up, magnified. "And extolled," lifted up even higher. "And be very high." And watch number 14. He said, this is where our Savior was. This is what happened. He said, "As many were astounded." They were stunned. They were devastated. They were astonished at thee. His visage, that's his appearance, was marred more than any man. Amen. His visage, his appearance was marred more than any man. But more than any human being, he was beaten to a pulp more than any other man had ever been, and more than any other man had ever endured. Jesus endured for me and you on the cross of Calvary. That's what sin will do. It'll beat you up. It'll beat you down. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ became sin. Praise God. He that knew no sin became sin for you and me. Praise His holy name. Praise His name. Praise God. Praise God. His form more than the sons of men. He was beaten down. Said, you take the Word of God, you take them to, you say, hey, listen, this is who Jesus was. This is what He did for you. This is why He's able to save you from your sinfulness. Amen. Praise His holy name. Bless you. Hey, look on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. In verse number 24. The Bible says this. He said, who His own self, talking about Jesus, bare our sins in His own body on the tree. He hung on Calvary. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. We ought to be able to take them to the Word of God and say, listen, God loves you. God, the Lord Jesus died for you. And because He died for you, you can be saved. Praise the Lord. Salvation, saving faith comes from knowledge, comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Praise God. It's that foundation that we build upon so that we can have the assurance that everything's going to be okay. Amen. That our soul is satisfied in the Lord. Praise God. So have that saving faith. Praise God. And He brings us to that place of a saving faith and that foundation that we have, which leads into prevailing faith, to prevail, to press on further and further along the way. Where we begin to pray, believing that God is going to minister to us. God's there to help us. In Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 24. Jesus says this. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. Amen. You know, prayer changes things. Hello, you believe that? Amen. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes your attitude. Prayer change you want to's. Prayer change your direction. Amen. Praise God. Prayer change your blessings. Prayer gets you closer to the blesser. Amen. Prayer will point you to heaven. Praise God. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. He said you got to pray believing. Amen. Hey, God, what you pray, believe? That's saving faith. That's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made His promises. It's in His Word, so we believe it. And then God fulfills, praise God, His promises to you and I. Praise God. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith comes in. That's real faith. That's where real faith, praise God, comes in. Praise God, opens the door and comes on in. To sit with us a while, praise God, to minister to our hearts. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, He said, the Bible says to be ye filled with the Spirit. He said we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, doesn't it? Amen. Just a little example. He says that we're supposed to be filled. The Lord says, you say, Lord, please fill me with Your Spirit. Do you believe God will fill us with His Spirit? Now, you remember, Holy Spirit, if you're saved, lives in you. Amen. That means that you're asking the Lord to have preeminence in you. Amen. That He would become that what? Starts with P. Priority. Amen. Remember I told you, there's no such things as priorities. That's an oxymoron. There's a priority. That's the most important part. And when we get our priorities straight, everything else falls in place. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, what's right in the eyes of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Food, raiment, clothing, praise God, a roof over your head. All these things that you have need of, God knows it, and He'll take care of it if we'll seek Him first. Amen. Saving faith brings us to that. That's prevailing faith. We press on, praise God, because we know God, praise God, is going to be there to hear and answer our prayers. Praise the Lord. Do we believe God can fill us with His Spirit? Praise. We know He can. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? So God, if God tells you to be filled with the Spirit, praise God, then He'll fill your spirit because He said He would. And that's where that saving faith, that prevailing faith that moves us ahead just a little bit farther every day comes into play, and we begin to trust the Lord, and marvelous things begin to happen in our lives. We begin to see things in a totally different light. We begin to have a promise, praise God, of another world, another country. Amen. A place where we got citizenship in heaven, praise God. Looking for the glorious appearing of our Savior when we'll see Him. And we'll see Him face to face. Praise God. And we know we can have it because God says if we ask, believing, we shall receive. And we've got to believe. You say, how do you know? Look over at 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. He says this, "As these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now who's He talking to? He's talking to believers. He's talking to born-again individuals. Amen? Born-again individuals, praise God, those that's been saved, that's put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. We hit that last week, right? Believe on the name of the Son of God. We have eternal life and we believe on Him. Now this verse, verse 14. He said, and this is the confidence that we have who in who? Him. Now notice the confidence is not in us. You know, I found that I let me down a whole lot. I try to have confidence in myself. You know, we have self-confidence, but it doesn't always get us through. But he said that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Amen? So if we ask anything according to His will, praise God, that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, because we're asking according to His will, right? Whatsoever we ask, we know that, now watch this, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. That word have right there makes that present tense. Amen? Somebody will just jump up and shout right there. It makes it present tense. It means we have it right now. You don't have to wait for it, but praise God, with expectancy, with confidence, praise God, we can believe that we have that we ask of Him because it's His will. Amen. That's that prevailing faith that we have. That's saving faith. That's prevailing faith to press forward just a little bit in that saving faith that we have in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Get God to just stay. We just have to stand on the promise of God. Just claim what God has promised us. Believe it in our hearts because God has said. Amen. So we have saving faith. We have prevailing faith. We also have victorious faith. We got victory in Jesus, praise God. Don't be discouraged. Don't back up, praise the Lord. Just believe victorious faith in Christ. Amen. Praise God. It comes from the Word of God. God says it. We just believe it. It makes all the difference. Victory over the things of this world, praise God. Victory over sin. Victory over the things that so easily beset us, like the flesh. Amen. This old person that we live in that affects us every day. Back over in 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 4. John says this, he says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Amen? You believe that this morning? He said, "Whatsoever is born of God," praise God, "whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Amen? If you've been born again, you're born of God. He said, you've overcome the world. You say, well, preacher, ain't a lot of obstacles I ain't got past yet. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, but you're still a work in progress. Amen. And sister, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. Even our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. If the world's oppressing you sore, if the world's beating you down, praise God, just have faith. Trust your faith and trust in and on the Lord. Believe on Him and you shall be saved. Ain't that what He told the Philippian jailer? And your household. And he did. Praise God. He said, who is he that overcometh the world? See, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where saving faith comes in. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who overcame the world? Jesus. Jesus has overcome the world. that who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has overcome, and when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are overcomers as well. So not only, praise God, we have saving faith and a prevailing faith, but we have victorious faith. It's that faith we talked about in verse number 15 of 1 John 5, praise God, that we already have. Not something we're going to have someday. We have faith today in Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I don't know if I do or not. You better have. Because we don't know what's coming at us today or tomorrow. And we need to have faith in the Lord that we can get through, praise God. He can make that difference. We're going to need some help. We're going to need the Lord, praise God. We're going to need that saving faith, praise God, in His blessed holy name. The Bible says in verse number 6 of 1 John 5, He said, this is He that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ by water only, not by water only, but by water and blood. That water is a type and representation of the Word of God. That purity, amen, that's needed. And that blood, that suffering of Jesus Christ, praise God, that made a difference. He said, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. Amen. So we see that that Spirit that moves upon us, praise God, that gives us the victory in Jesus Christ, it comes from the Word of God. That victory, it overcomes the world, overcomes the flesh, and praise God, it overcomes the devil. Victorious faith. It's saving faith. It's trusting in the Lord, in and on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Amen. You can't generate this kind of faith. You can't conjure it up. You get it, praise God. We get it from the Word of God as God begins to speak to our hearts. Paul says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17, he said, so then, after all this, the preaching and instruction and calling upon His name, believing on Him, praise God. He said, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By that precious Word of God. That means feeding steadily and daily upon the Word of God. Let me just say something right. We all need to practice that more often. Amen. To have the saving faith and the prevailing faith and the victorious faith that we need, you need, I need, that the church needs, that our communities need, that our family has to have. We need to be steady in our looking at the Word of God. Amen. Get you a nap. Hey, everybody sits and looks at your iPhone for hours at a time. Amen. God help us. Put an app on there, praise God, where you can look at the Word of God. Set it where it'll come up two or three times a day, praise God, for you. You'll have to see it. Then meditate upon that a little bit. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. Amen. It increases our faith. It helps us. It builds, praise God, upon that foundation. That saving faith. That saving faith, that foundation which Christians must have. And it's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Just don't say, we can't just say, well, just believe, and expect them to believe. We've got to show them day by day, a little at a time. Amen. You can't get it all at once. Can't get it all at once, but a little at a time. The Bible says, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And we grow our faith. And we begin to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives. The old jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It said, you'll be saved and your family. You can all get in. And he did. Amen. Something changed him. Next thing you know, he's got the Paul and Silas up there, and he's washing their wounds and cleaning them up and asking mama to fix them a bite to eat. Amen. What happened to him? That old mean, callous jailer, praise God, became a child of God. Amen. Saving faith moved in. Took up its abode in his heart. Took up its abode in his house. Amen. To God be the glory. That's what God's wanting to do today for every one of us. He's wanting to take up his abode in our hearts. He's wanting to take up his abode in our houses. Amen. Whether it be your house, my house, or the church house. Thank God for his presence. Amen. He dwells here. And he's here to help us.